The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor,
Andy, Jimmy, JC.
All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
We can probably start. Well, let's wake up Asa first.
Yeah.
There he is.
Paging the left coast for Asa Rahman.
Ooh. Yeah, good morning.
Yeah, he's here bright and early. We always appreciate you waking up to have a chat with us as our West Coast Whitecaps expert amongst many things.
I like the morning tone. This is great.
Is it a morning tone? Yeah.
Feels like it, no?
I don't know. It's my hosting tone.
Okay.
Hello, Asa Rahman.
Thank you.
This sounds douchey. Anyway, I'm Amy Walsh. We don't care what time it is that you're listening to us. We appreciate it. Wonger's here. JC's here. Charlie was here for just a minute ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that voice you heard off the top
is
Rahman, our expert. So Asa, we're going to dive into everything, Whitecaps and Pavco and BC Place and the government and subsidies and Hastings and all of the factors at play with this tenuous situation with the Caps and hopefully keeping that club in Canada. But before that, yesterday, the transfer window slammed shut over in Europe. And I mean, it remains open until the end of March for MLS. But there were a busy few days for our men's national team players. Kyle Larin made the move officially to Southampton. James Sharman will be happy to note, because I don't know if you had a chance to listen to yesterday's podcast, but there are lots of reservations on James Sharman's part discussing transfer moves. And but that's official now. Stephen Eustachio makes the move from a longtime stalwart with Porto to LAFC, joining some other Canucks down there, Junior Hoylett to Swindon, Sirwa to Dallas, which I'm a little bit broken up about. Jason Russell Rowe, again, that was rumored to be happening finally over the line to Toulouse, amongst other things and other moves earlier in the window. And I wanted to ask you, Asa, since Ali Ahmed made the move from the Caps over to Norwich City, we talked yesterday about how quickly he found his form, got his scoring boots on, and made an impact in the championship. Larin's doing the same thing, or hopefully, as he makes the move from La Liga and an Eredivisie to Southampton and hopes to have the same effect. Do you think that people have their eyes on Canadians now, given what Ali's done?
For sure. I think that that's been huge. I think Norwich and the success that Ali Ahmed has had so quickly has been great for Canadians. But we've seen that already. We've seen that with players.
Hey, JC, do you mind? Sorry, JC, do you mind turning your mic off for a sec? Just because we can hear Charlie and...
Is it not off?
No, that's what I was pointing at the whole time. I was trying to text you. Yeah.
Sorry, Asa.
Charlie sounds like she's having a great time, though.
I know.
She is. She is awesome. A happy girl.
Charlie likes the move.
Yeah, that's right. Most importantly. And I like the move as well. I love the attention that the Canadian players are getting. Obviously, Kyle Larin needs to find his shooting form. I did listen to the show you guys had the other day and completely agree with the fact that you just have to find a way. And I think Jimmy Brennan mentioned John David kind of getting that goal. Because, about a month ago, we're all wondering about that move, what he's doing at Juventus, how he's struggling, his preferences with pasta, and like absolutely everything.
That's right.
Like, it was the weirdest thing, but it's just like, something's wrong with John David. And then all of a sudden, one goal goes in. And you guys talked about it. It doesn't matter how it goes in, which body part. I'll leave that to you guys. But, it makes such a difference.
Get in the box.
And then that's right. And then and then things change and the things happen. The mojo shifts and all of a sudden the goal scorer is scoring goals. And that's exactly what we're seeing with John David right now. And, you hope for something similar with Kyle Larin because, again, you mentioned how he's one of the most prolific goal scorers in Canadian soccer history. He has that. He's older, but not old for a striker. Like, still so much to give to the game, especially with his ability and his attributes. I think that there's still a lot to give here, and really excited for that because I do believe that when he gets that goal, We could see him score in bunches. And honestly, you brought up Ali Ahmed. Somewhat similar for him. He was pretty snake-bitten last year with the Vancouver Whitecaps. Looks great. Passed the eye test. Looked incredible. Just couldn't get the goals till the MLS Cup final against Miami. And we've seen that carry over now into Norwich. And you have to figure it. So much of it's psychological. So, you're really hoping for Kyle Aaron in particular. But great for Jason Russell Rowe as well. And just good to see the movement. And then I thought the most interesting one, honestly, is Eustachio coming back coming to MLS with LAFC here. And I think that's a good fit. I know there are rumors and maybe some hope that he would land with TFC, but that's a good system, a good setup at LAFC. And as much as it pains me to say that, it is a good setup and a great thing that they have going there. So excited to see more of Stephanie Eustachio because, he just couldn't get minutes anymore. Great depth piece for Porto, but needs those minutes leading into a World Cup. You know he's going to be there. I don't think his spot is in question, but you want him to be in form. You want him to be feeling good going into that tournament.
Yeah, we talked about that yesterday as well, like two very different situations with our men's national team. I think at this point, with the depth that we suddenly have across the front line, you maybe have a Kyle Aaron who's on the outside looking in, who is extremely valuable as a veteran piece, has done so much for the program. But there are other players who are making their case to be included in that 26-player roster. But I want to go back to Eustachio just for a second before we move on to the Caps. So he moves, another Canadian added to Mark Dos Santos' team now at LAFC. Does he shift to more of a 4-3-3? Is he looking for a single pivot? You've got Mathieu Choignard, who's there, who's looking for a little bit more playing time. Does the addition of Stephen Eustachio push Choignard down the depth chart for that midfield?
Oh, it's a good question. I thought Choignard really started to come on for that team as well, really earned those minutes later in the season and in the playoffs. So you hope that doesn't happen, but I mean, competition is good as well. Mm-hmm. And you want to be fighting for your spot. I think that's good. You shouldn't be complacent and expect those minutes. So I think it's good for both players, honestly, but you're right. I mean, in that part of the pitch, we know how they want to play. I think it is the same system and setup. Mm. I don't see them, changing too much there. Yeah, I think they'll be fighting for those minutes. I did think that's one area where the Whitecaps match up well against them. They're good in the middle of the park, but the firepower is definitely up front. So I think this actually improves them. They look a little bit more dangerous now with Eustachio kind of pulling the string through the middle of the park. It's going to be tough competition through there for those two Canadians for sure.
And there's been another offer since we had Carl Lang on talking about the Inter Miami offer for Denny Bwanga. And then is it just went out of my head? A team I think in South Brazil. America, who has made a bid for Bwanga? I think 15 mil after Inter Miami tried to lure him away on a $13 million bid, and LAFC weren't biting on that. So hopefully he sticks around because it would be cool to see Eustachio or Choignard as a deeper line playmaker and springing Bwanga and the likes of Sun. But we'll have to have Cara back on to chat everything LAFC because Raposo used to actually play for the Caps is re-signed there. He joined them, right?
That's right. Yeah. Year. And it was really nice to see him get re-signed as well. Mm-hmm. A player that maybe, gets kind of overlooked, but such a strong utility player and the type of player you need in this league as well. Remember him with the Vancouver Whitecaps, did absolutely everything that they needed him to do. And I think Vanni Sartini, used him a lot in different areas and spoke highly of him and kept saying national team should be looking at this kid because it's not the flashiest, but he always pops up. He's always going, such a willing runner and good delivery, like just checks a lot of boxes. So it's great to see him stay there as well. Yeah, too many Canadians over there.
I was going to say to Dubs that we can't have Cara Elise on anymore because of ongoing border issues down south. We have to stop talking about anything US-based. So LAFC is no longer part of our content. Just going
no
forward.
Matter how many Canadians make up that roster.
That's right.
Yeah, we can't talk to our friend Hall of Famer. She's a traitor, yeah, right?
That's right?
Can't have her on anymore.
Nope, exactly.
How dare you guys bring her on? I was thinking the exact same thing. She's absolutely brilliant. And yeah, and yeah. I find that team fascinating. You mentioned all the Canadians there. Yeah, like a really interesting team. And then a rival of the Vancouver Whitecaps as well. So,
and ages ago, yeah. I think, God, it was pure pandemic. We did have Mark Dos Santos on Footy Prime. So it would be great to revisit. I have his email. We should give him a holler and see if he lets us chat with
there
him.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. Pure Pandemic would be a great band name.
That is pretty Ooh. Good.
Right?
Yeah.
So I was going to say, Asa, so finally shifting gears for people who are listening, for Asa's expert take on the situation the Caps find themselves in and reactions to Axel Schuster's press conference of last Friday, last day of January, yeah. right, which seems ages ago now. We're recording on Tuesday morning. And I was thinking it would be so nice to start with sporting things. And we did get to, in a way, because we were talking about the transfer window and all the moves that our Canadian national team players made, hopefully improving their standing to make a push for Jesse Marsh's roster for the World Cup. That's happening very, very soon. But Schuster basically said the same thing, right? When he opened up his press conference, he's like, you guys don't have any sporting questions yeah. for me? Because unfortunately, much the way last season started, I remember talking on this podcast and, you know, looking on socials and watching the likes of Ali Ahmed, Ryan Gauld, all these other players file in for the beginning of training camp. And the news that the team was up for sale trickled out, I think, end of 2024 in December. And then, you know, the stock, the arc, the everything just changed, right? It went from glass half empty to glass half full. This team made the final of the CONCACAF Champions Cup, and then they won the Canadian Championship for the fourth time in a row. They made it to the final of the MLS Cup. Thomas Mueller, in the meantime, was acquired by this team. Everything was coming up Caps. And then here we are again now, seemingly back glass half empty, where this team looks like it might not even be able to stay in the market. So, Asa, help us to make sense of all of this, of the mood, of the temperature, the barometer, everything that's happening in Vancouver, reacting to Axel Schuster being straight, really, with the fans.
Yeah. How much time do we have?
We have all the time you need.
There's a lot to tackle here. Let's walk through that Friday first of all, because it was a pretty wild, interesting Friday. I actually had a Zoom call with James Johnson, CSP CEO, and did it. It was that Friday morning, and also got a call from the Vancouver Whitecaps saying that there's this important presser. I said, "Oh, sure, it's leading up to the transfer window closing in Europe, so some signings, I'm sure." And they said, yes, but you definitely want to be there. So I made sure we were there with a camera for Global. Did the Zoom presser with James Johnson at 11 o'clock. This Axel Schuster was at 11:30, so did it all at the at UBC. And I did the Zoom interview, I get these emails where people are alerting me to the letter that was sent out to the fans. So while I was aware of all the player movement that was happening and the transfers to the Vancouver Whitecaps, I was quickly alerted to this other issue, which became the bigger issue, which alerted fans that there will be home games this season that won't be played at BC Place. And there's been no real progress, which is really concerning in the negotiations with BC Place for a new deal. So that quickly shifted my attention and had me focusing more on this. Get into this press conference then, or media availability with Axel Schuster. And Amy, I had the first question, and I was anticipating Axel to kind of give a summary first and talk about some of the players, but it came straight to the questions. And we get two questions each, and I'm standing there in person. I said, and I figured, we have to address this elephant in the room. This is the first question, because as much as, it's exciting to talk about transfers and new players coming in, it doesn't really matter if the team isn't here next year, right? So we got right into the stadium situation, and he gave us an update.
Asa, they were begging the question if they sent out the letter and the four.
Yeah. No, hey, Asa, have to be, that was right? A flex. Asa got a call.
That's my point.
He barely got an email. Isa got a call.
That's right.
Yeah. Do you feel manipulated, Isa? I just want to know. Do you feel?
Yeah. I mean, definitely happy it was there though. And like, this is, this is how it goes. And it was very, it was important that this message got out, obviously. And Axel addressed the stadium situation. And there's a lot to take to from what he said. I think one of the things, so many things have stood out, but one that stood out was the fact that there's been no progress in the 14 months, right? And he talked about when this was first announced that the team was up for sale, and the fact that no matter what they've tried, there hasn't been enough progress in getting a sort of a bridge deal done with BC Place or seeking investment. That's also been a struggle for them because, as you mentioned, there have been about 100 groups that have shown interest, some very serious enough to open up and look at the books and spend the time and energy and money to do that. And then still not 1% interested or no one interested in spending or investing even 1% in this club. So it speaks to the dire situation of the group right now and the need for a stadium, obviously. But unfortunately, it doesn't look like there's anything that's close to happening in that regard. So you have to get this deal done with BC Place. And a lot of pressure being put on the provincial government now to get that deal done, whatever it might look like.
Can I ask Asa, just while we're talking about it, the players involved, meaning the corporate players, the Whitecaps, is Pavco part of government or do they run as... Okay, so they don't run as an independent board? No,
the Pavco's, the provincial government.
Yeah. Okay, so is it just those two players? Whitecaps ownership and Pavco? Is this?
Yeah, essentially.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. For the BC Place deal.
And that does not include the kind of that infrastructure opportunity also. This is just a short term.
Correct.
Okay. And tell me what I'm wrong.
Those two stakeholders. No, it's good. Those two stakeholders for the BC Place deal, and then for a stadium, it would be another investor to buy into the club, to invest in the club, and build the stadium. That's been a major hurdle as well. So, but that again, I think part of the problem with that, or one of the struggles with it, is it's hard to get an investor in the current environment because the team has been losing money. And Axel Schuster mentioned that they'll lose more money in 26 than they did in 25. Like it's a bad situation financially. So then it's hard to get people to invest in it, obviously. And then if you're investing in this thing and putting the money in to build a stadium, it's even longer for you to actually come out on top and make up the money that's lost. So it is an unattractive investment at the moment until or unless the stadium, the BC Place situation changes. And then, if that's a better deal, then it's more appealing to potential investors.
Asa, sorry, yes. How big is your yard?
I'm really big enough.
I mean, if we all pool some cash together and you've already got a place,
there you go. Land. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's how creative people have been thinking because of what this team means to this city, to this region. You go online, you go on socials, and it's, can we put a stadium here? I know this would be really challenging, but could we try to do this? What if people pool together? Could we crowdfund to like absolutely everything? Because this team, this club means so much to this area, but to Canada soccer as well. Watching soccer over the weekend after the news on Friday, I felt like I just kept getting pulled back into the Whitecap stuff. I mean, Chelsea comes back, has this dramatic comeback win to win 3-2 against West Ham after going down 2-0 at the break.
And at the end, Pedro feared for his life.
Yeah. that was interesting. Cucurella just gets tossed. But at the end of it, they're singing blue is the color. And then I'm thinking of the Whitecaps fans singing white is the color. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, like all these things where it's just, there's such a rich history here around this team. And then Alphonso Davies makes that play and you're like, yeah, that's a Whitecaps product as well. You know, like, mm-hmm. We've just seen them more and more involved. You got your Thomas Muller scarf behind you and, you know, mm-hmm. The attention that the Whitecaps have gained through that acquisition, they're as big as they've ever been, in not just here, but I think in the game globally right now. Ali Ahmed and now the Norwich supporters that we have following the Vancouver Whitecaps, like there's a lot here. And then historically as well, there's all the tie-ins to some of the greats that played this game.
And at that press conference, the tone that Axel Schuster assumed, it wasn't one of resignation. It was just sobering reality, or at least that was what I took away from it. And even attempting himself to try to reconcile the fact that they were the second best team in North America. Yeah. This is his quote. And then we'll be the last team in revenues in MLS. That doesn't fit together. So I think everybody in that community, in that Whitecaps community, as you're talking about, which is the local community, which is the North American community, the world mm-hmm. community, where you can see the links of all these players who have left an indelible mark on the world game, that's sort of resonating with everybody. And everybody wants to try to exhaust all possible avenues to try to find a solution, but they're unable to. So yeah. Do you think, Asa, and this is maybe a little bit cynical after I've said all that, do you think that this announcement was timed in a way to put pressure on, you know, people who are making the budgets, the provincial government, maybe the federal government, the municipalities, to try? Because the memorandum of understanding that was signed a couple of months ago, right, for the Hastings mm-hmm. development site. So is there part of it that's maybe not angling, but strategic on Axel Schuster's part?
Yeah, I think so. The timing makes sense. But also, I think that, and you guys talked about this the other day, and Forrest had mentioned it, you know, he wasn't being negative, I think he said, Wonger, but just
no,
realistic.
I don't think he was.
Yeah. And I think that's just it. There is the reality that financially, it has a better chance of working in other markets because of the dollar, because of the stadium situation. So the fact that, the team could potentially move is very real. And we're seeing that as well. And the stadium situation on the financial side, obviously an issue, but the availability as well. And the fact that the Whitecaps have to play some games away from BC Place this year kind of brought that to our attention as well. And then you had the league, you know, chiming in and addressing this as well the next day. And Dan Courtemanche sending a letter out that quickly spread and basically saying that, yeah, this situation, they do support the Vancouver Whitecaps and keeping the Whitecaps here in Vancouver. But the reality is that this current situation is untenable, something that we've heard the commissioner, Don Garber, say as well. So that remains, like, that is still an issue, which is why, yeah, there's a political play here, some angling to get this deal done with the provincial government, but at the same time, understand the reality that if it doesn't get done, there's a very good chance the team's not here.
Budget comes down in the next week or so,
two weeks, February 17th.
Okay, yeah. So the weekend after Family Day could be a brutal Family Day for the Vancouver Whitecaps community and family. Sorry, I'm
grim family day.
Grim, grim. More than just us having to stay at home with the children.
Yeah.
Again.
So we just had a family day. It's called Saturday.
Exactly.
We had our family time.
Sunday was the family day.
Yeah.
It seems to me that, you know, I always do. We have to start considering, and this is a Canadian kind of approach, that we've taken a backseat to private investment in sports teams, especially professional sports teams. And I'm not saying it's the only way, but is it the only way to stay competitive? Is a private public approach to stadiums, all of that kind of stuff, to make sure that the investment is guaranteed, teams don't leave? Because I remember back in the day, this is the 90s, and they were doing the Ottawa Senators were on the ropes with Eugene Melnick and all that. And, you know, I'm not saying good or bad, but what I did read and what I did figure out was there are a lot of positives that come from community sports clubs, and even if they're privately owned, which is lots of jobs around the stadiums, an increase in participation for kids, there's all of these great things that also come along with this. And I know it, and I look, I'm an old school lefty with at the same time being very realistic and also a bit of a libertarian here. Like I have I'm a true independent. And I do see such value in bringing professional sports teams to areas now that can be, you know, figured out in a way, because it does give back to the community so much.
Yeah, I think it's a great point, and it has to be looked at. And when you look at the Vancouver Whitecaps and the financial situation, that's a big part of it. Like you mentioned, the jobs created, obviously, the industry that it's really created, and then on the sporting side, the actual contribution to Canadian soccer as well. Mm-hmm. Littered throughout CPL are Vancouver Whitecaps players, or players who have come through the system. And now you have, you know, players going abroad. You have players playing for the national team. So important to that ecosystem as well. Youth sports in general. I completely agree with you, Wonger. I think that there needs to be that. You need to understand and appreciate that, and understand like the involvement, the importance in the community. And the Whitecaps are a great example of it. And this team has been operating the way they've been operating since joining MLS, and even before that. And Kerfoot in particular, Greg Kerfoot, doesn't get mentioned enough for what he's done for Canadian soccer on the men's side, on the women's side. The national team as well, and, you know, contributing to Jesse Marsh's paycheck. It's essentially been a philanthropic effort from him since the very beginning. And, you know, that is important. I mean, what it means to the community as well, and just bringing people together can't be understated.
Well, and I also, it goes back to what is deemed critical infrastructure, right? And I'll give you an example. I worked at Rogers for 8 straight years, and Rogers was getting, this is early 2000s when they were still extending and implementing all of the cable fiber. Bell was doing the same. That's paid for by the government also.
Yeah.
It's, and so we deem something, and I know this is political, but we deem something critical for Canadian infrastructure and Canadian growth. And professional sports has always been left out, but we do it with, hey, we're giving a deal to Winnipeg to get, like, I had a bit of a quiz coming up, but Winnipeg got their team back. How did that happen? It wasn't just, private money. Yeah. It was community money too, where they said, we deem this critical for infrastructure. So it just, that's the debate for me. And that is what goes on in my head when we have other things failing. You know, there people can complain about a lot of different things. There's lots of infrastructure that needs to be created in Vancouver, issues across the board. And then I understand where this lines up as a priority. And that's obviously the discussion that has to be going on. But at the same time, do we invest in this? Right.
Yeah. And that's the argument on the other side, right? From the public, essentially, is like, oh, why should the government keep putting money into this thing? And there's been, you know, 170, 180 million spent on the upgrades to BC Place for the World Cup or investment in the World Cup here. Why is it going to sport again? Why is it going to this? Why is it going to that stadium? When you look at the stadium, what it means to the city as well, I think that there's value in it. And if you're going to invest in sport, it may as well be the team that's here, not the circus that's coming for a short while, right? This is the team that that has done
FIFA?
So much.
FIFA?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty apt metaphor for FIFA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but there's a wild, sorry, Asa, yeah. I didn't realize you weren't done your thought. There's a wild irony about the circus coming to town in FIFA and the World Cup, and this we should be seizing this opportunity. And we've talked about all kinds of ways that Canada soccer and the grassroots and all of the pyramid need to seize on this opportunity for the legacy. And there's the legacy funding, which, again, is not lost on me, or I'm sure not the community in Vancouver, that their team, a winning team, a successful team, might be lost almost sort of sacrificially as a result of growing the game, quote unquote. But you're doing it by bringing in the biggest game, the biggest circus in town to grow the game, but it might be at the expense of your local game, of your local asset. Yeah. Again, how do you reconcile those two things?
Isn't it ironic?
Yeah.
Right? I know. Hey, Lannis.
Oh, it is. It really, yeah. It's definitely, look, it's complex and it's gray, and people have to make a decision on the benefits across the board. What is the priority politically? But even more, what helps community? You know, if you're all, you also have to make sure that that solid middle is also spoken to and spoken for. Right.
Yeah, and that was solid middle.
Pardon me.
Solid middle.
I do not have that. I do not have a solid middle. I'm soft in the middle. Me and
yes. It's a solid trunk.
Me and
okay, but short term, coming back to reconciling that, this is also, again, to use the word irony, or even like the paradox of like, you're not masters of your own domain. My God, I don't know why I said that. That's a Seinfeld masturbation reference. Not what I'm talking about, but they don't have a stadium to call their own. So we know like the fact that they've been the butt of MLS jokes because they get displaced because of motocross events or home and garden shows. And now they're going to get displaced for a length of time, a stretch of time, because of the World Cup again.
Yeah.
So short term, what is the plan for the Whitecaps, as you know, they might have to have a couple of these CONCACAF Champions Cup games on the road.
Yeah.
They don't have the advantage of playing in front of their home fans, or just away for a period of time. What's the short term solution?
Yeah, don't know it at the moment. We know that games with CONCACAF will have to be in Canada. So curious to see what that looks like as well. And you're right, that's kind of the other thing. But with so much attention on the budget situation and getting this deal done, that one's kind of getting neglected a little bit. But I am so curious to see where those games end up. And I was having a chat about this with a colleague the other day, and basically just wondering about how that could potentially be an interesting scenario where the team tours a little bit, and if that could honestly just kind of increase brand awareness and fandom in other areas if they do end up playing games in Alberta. It could be this weird blessing in disguise as well. I mean, no one wants to see a team play any other games, any games anywhere else, but we've seen these teams have these fan bases beyond the region, right? And the Blue Jays come to mind because the Blue Jays play in Seattle every season, and fans flock from Vancouver to support the Blue Jays there and outnumber the Mariners fans in Seattle. So, it would be interesting to see where the Whitecaps play these games, but it could be a chance for them to tour a little bit and take Thomas Mueller on the road and bring fans in other areas, which could be a weird thing that actually benefits the club. Hopefully they end up staying here in Vancouver.
They'll unveil their new name, the Vancouver-ish Whitecaps.
Vancouver adjacent. Yeah,
that's right.
I mean, it's a vast country.
So yeah,
I don't know. The only
I'm imploring the provincial government and the Vancouver Whitecaps Corporation to please come to a great decision to keep our friend Asa Rahman having a job out creating content for the Vancouverish Whitecaps.
Yeah, I think everyone on the sporting side, obviously we're biased, but it is a club that means so much to the country. So yeah, we're all hoping for the best scenario here.
Well, if we're, you know, talking about, we started with the Sporting, if maybe we can put a bow on this thing by ending mm-hmm. with the Sporting, and maybe to bring people's mood up a little bit, because things are dire. Yes, JC, with the actual physical bow. So there have been some acquisitions. There's some news after, again, which was not great news, which was what you broke with Global about Ryan Gauld and mm-hmm. and operation to clean up that knee, and hopefully puts him in good stead. I think projected to be back with the team in April. But acquisitions in Caicedo and Jackson. So on the pitch, at least, things looking up for the Caps.
Yeah, good players being brought in once again. And love this profile. It's worked well for the Vancouver Whitecaps, the kind of under 25 group. Jesper Sorensen in particular is found a way to kind of get the most out of these players. Sometimes these reclamation projects to these players that you're not as familiar with. Another one that wasn't a deadline deal necessarily, but they brought in and did get out to camp is Oli Larraz, who's looked great as well. So they have these players that are slotting in, and you hope for the best, because it's worked out well for Pedro Vite when he came. It took a little time, but we saw what he brought to the table, obviously. Edgar Ocampo as well. And now Kenji Cabrera, who looked good down the stretch, and we're hoping for something similar with Bruno Caicedo, who's an exciting young player, and Aziel Jackson as well. So, it's a good time, because Jesper Sorensen's found a way to get the absolute most out of these kids, really, and then elevate their game and in some cases move them on as well to other situations and scenarios. The part that I am a little sad about is the CanCon. Jaden Nelson moves out to Austin. Wow. Ali Ahmed goes to Norwich. Those are two good Canadian kids that were getting minutes, and we've seen them develop. Caps still have plenty of those as well.
Jeevan Badwell, Ralph Friso.
Yeah, Sam Adekube's looking like he's, you know, getting closer to full fitness. So
well. Yeah, what was the update? Just because I'm wondering about his availability for the CAN men's team.
Yeah, he should be playing before then. Looks like he's on track or ahead of schedule, and that's great to see. So working out on his own. Not sure how much involvement he's having with the team at the moment. I really need to go to Spain, basically. This is what I'm saying. I need eyes on Sam Adekube. How do we make that happen? Yeah, as we're asking for more money from the government. Hey, how about
let's crowdfund.
Proposal for you. Send me to Marbella. Sam Adekube should be available. I don't know at what point early in the season, but because games are a couple weeks away now. He's at least looking fit and ready to contribute. So, yeah, guys getting healthier. Ranko Veselinovic as well. On the men. So, hopefully they're healthier than last year, because that was a tough one where players were going down mm-hmm. Quite frequently. And then Ryan Gauld's the big one. I think that he's just – I mean, yeah, it's – it's quite obvious the captain is one of the most important players, but they really need him this year to kind of take it to the next level, win more games throughout the regular season or in these competitions, and set themselves up for success down the stretch.
And then the one guy that we didn't talk about is Sebastian Berhalter. There have been rumors and whispers about other teams putting in bids for him, and then Axel Schuster, typically in his usual form, being transparent about that and saying that they're trying to re-up him, all right, in those contract negotiations. So do you have the insider scoop on Berhalter staying with the Caps?
Yeah, Axel's been a straight shooter with all of this, right? Like, I think even with Ali Ahmed, he made it clear that, it was towards the end of his contract and wanted him to allow him to pursue, his dreams of going to Europe. I do believe that they want to retain Sebastian Berhalter. He's also like does so much on the pitch defensively and open play. He's their set piece guy as well. Mm-hmm. So I honestly believe they're doing everything they can to keep Sebastian Berhalter here. And I'd expect him to be here through the early part of the season. I guess the summer be the next time to see if he potentially moves, and that would be after the World Cup.
And last thing for me, Asa, just from a mindset perspective, like mm-hmm. Jesper Sorensen comes in last year. I think some people were underwhelmed. You might even put Craig Forrest in that category. We didn't know a whole lot about him coming over from the Danish Pro League, but his ability to not only work with a decimated roster, but to insulate the team from the noise on the outside and like the negatives associated with the club being up for sale and how that could have been a distraction. And the way that they had a historic year, do they just look to replicate that this year?
Yeah, I mean, it was so surprising, especially early in the season, because the players have talked about how they saw it in Marbella last year, and they saw the team come together. We didn't, so it was really surprising early in the season to see them have the success that they did. And then even then, I think there was some hesitancy to really buy in and believe. You know, you're like, okay, it looks good, but can they sustain it? What do they look like once injuries set in? And injuries came, and they just kept going. So there's a lot of reason for optimism with what we saw from Jesper Sorensen last year, and now that he has this camp right now, but also last year, he's familiar with more of the players. We're seeing the impact of someone like Ali Larraz already hit the ground running. So you have to believe that, you know, you'd have – I mean, it's hard to replicate and reach the cup final for every competition that's available, but you have to feel like they'll at least be as good as they were last year.
And I said that was the last thing for me before we wrap, and we're out of time here on Footy Prime. But I need to ask, it came up yesterday in our podcast. You said you listened. Do you own a nail brush?
A nail brush?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Okay.
That's a good question. Like, well, I don't know if there's one in the household, which is why it took me a minute, right? So it's like, I don't.
Okay, like, interesting. Because I,
is that okay?
My husband uses one regularly.
See, now I think I might. Now I'm converted.
Okay, you go out and you buy one.
Because JP, yeah. JP has right. one.
Did you have anything else, Wonger?
Easily influenced.
Right. Yeah. I know. Get JP on Instagram, you can be an influencer.
I don't know. The only thing I don't remember is I know we talked about Kyle Larin, Southampton, and Eustachio. Hasn't signed yet, but looks like LAFC. Ismail Kone.
Yeah.
Did we talk about him? He got signed up from his club, loaned out, and now is going to be signing with Sassuolo.
Sassuolo.
Sassuolo. Okay, thank
you. Yes, because he was on loan there from Marseille, and then Sassuolo has purchased him.
Right. And so only because I know Dubs knows him from CF Montreal somewhat. And so that was one name that I wanted to make sure we mentioned because we are somewhat on top of all things footy.
Yeah. From what I've seen, it looks great there. And I don't watch the full matches, but catch the highlights. Yeah. And it looks really good. So it's a good fit. And that's a player who's struggle to find a good home since he's left. So, you love to see it. He's obviously playing confidently and is comfortable. So, you're right. Thanks for bringing that up, Wonger, because there's a lot of player movement, and it's nice when you see someone that stays in a place that is working well for them.
Well, funny enough, too, is my last comment is Jimmy Brennan foreshadowed this yesterday. He said he will sign with someone the way he's playing, and he said that yesterday. Hmm. So it was... Dubs.
Well, I don't want to not give credit to Jimmy because Jimmy's plugged in and he knows the game.
Right.
So 100%.
Is that Jimmy easy Brennan, to say?
But I
that
think was an Jimmy easy was thing. Saying he thinks he's going to get poached by somebody else.
Wow.
like not necessarily so swallow. So I'm, okay. But I'm happy to see him stay there because I think he needs the stability.
Yeah. Right. And to minimize, Jimmy's.
That's right. And to undercut Jimmy.
Yeah. It's not an easy
two for one. That's a two for one.
Did you hear that from JC? What? Well played. Not an easy pill to assess swallow.
Nice. That's good.
Bravo, JC. Can't take credit for that one. So Asa, Rahman, thanks so much for coming on and to help us shed some light on this situation. And we do hope that it improves. And I think everybody who understands, who loves the Canadian game, knows how integral the Whitecaps are mm-hmm. to that. It would be awful. It'd be terrible to lose the Vancouver Whitecaps.
Yeah. Thanks so much for having me. Yeah. Hope I helped provide some insight into that situation. It's a tricky one, honestly. And I hear all sides of it. I'm sure we'll be talking about this for a while longer.
It does roll into the fabric of Canadiana and how we see ourselves on the world stage, where we prioritize. So it's, you know, understandably, it pulls in municipal, federal governments, provincial, and how we see sports in Canada, which isn't always a priority, as we know.
No, you're right. Well, thanks so much. I think I've got to make lunches now.
it's only 3 in the morning for you.
Make sure that everybody gets their crowdfunding dollars in to send Asa to Spain. The Asa Spain, maybe. Asa Spain. So we'll get that going. I think a solid 3 or 4 grand could probably get you there with a decent accommodation.
From Vancouver, it might be more.
3 or 4 grand each way. So everybody, if the government's listening, let's get on that also. Mm-hmm. Okay. Asa to Spain.
We could somehow pair that with a push-up challenge, which is still open, right? Starting in a couple days. Join
tomorrow.
For the time. It's tomorrow.
Oh, no. Sorry, you're right. Thursday.
Okay. It doesn't matter. Already. It's the 5th, right? Join Footy Prime. Join a group. You can donate to help support mental health in Canada, a local initiative organization, or the national one. And then maybe at the same time, we can match the donations for the push-up challenge to send Asa to Spain, right? It's further down the line, but maybe, you know.
The Whitecaps will be back by then, and I'll just be going.
That's right. But you'll be buffed. You'll be ripped.
By yourself.
Yeah,
that's
great.
That's right. Well, cheers so much for listening and watching. Go like, subscribe, check us out on YouTube, sign up there, and check us out wherever you get your podcasts. And go support Asa Rahman. Asa, where can we find you?
On X or Twitter, at Asa Rahman, Instagram as well, at Asa Ray, and in East Vancouver at coffee shops near Hastings Racecourse.
You need to workshop that title a little bit, but okay.
Sounds on tight enough.
Can we tighten it up just a wee bit?
Okay.
All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll catch you. Will we do tomorrow? Will we do Wednesday?
I think we're doing tomorrow. Yes.
We've got tons of comments. So go check out.
Comments.
We had the deadline news with Eustachio and the projected signings there, which again, our own James Sharman adored, and then Jordan Lestreau, USL champ.
Actually, we're pushing her another week. So
yeah, she'll be with us at some point.
Another week. Yes.
Correct. Maybe she'll join the push-up challenge and be extra.
That's right.
Who knows?
That's right.
Okay, cheers, everybody.
Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter.
Thank you, homie.
Yeah, thanks, Asa.
Let's chat. I'm trying to wrangle a shirt.